धुनोति शमलं कृष्णः सलिलस्य यथा शरत् प्रविष्टः कर्णरन्ध्रेण स्वानां भावसरोरुहम् धुनोति शमलं कृष्णः सलिलस्य यथा शरत् प्रविष्टः कर्णरन्ध्रेण स्वानां भावसरोरुहम् धुनोति शमलं कृष्णः सलिलस्य यथा शरत् स्वानां भावसरोरुहम् धुनोति शमलं कृष्णः सलिलस्य यथा शरत् प्रविष्टः कर्णरन्ध्रेण स्वानां भावसरोरुहम् धुनोति शमलं कृष्णः सलिलस्य यथा शरत् प्रविष्टः कर्णरन्ध्रेण स्वानां भावसरोरुहम् धुनोति शमलं कृष्णः सलिलस्य यथा शरत् माताजी प्रविष्टः कर्णरन्ध्रेण स्वानां भावसरोरुहम् धुनोति शमलं कृष्णः सलिलस्य ययात् प्रविष्टः thus being entered karnarandhrena through the holes of the ears swanam according to one's liberated position bhava constitutional relationship sahraha ruham the lotus flower Dhunoti cleanses shamalam material qualities like lust, anger, avarice and hankering. Krishnaha, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Salilasya, of the reservoir of waters. Yatha, as it were, Sharat, the autumn season. Translation, the sound incarnation of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Soul, that is Srimad Bhagavatam, enters into the heart of a self-realized devotee, sits on the lotus flower of his loving relationship, and thus cleanses the dust of material association such as lust, anger and hankering. Thus it acts like autumnal rains upon pools of muddy water. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. It is said that a single pure devotee of the Lord can deliver all the fallen souls of the world. Thus, one who is actually in the confidence of a pure devotee like Narada or Shukadeva Goswami, and thus is empowered by one's spiritual master as Narada was by Brahmaji, one can only deliver himself from the clutches of Maya or illusion. One can not only deliver himself from the clutches of Maya or illusion, but can deliver the whole world by his pure and empowered devotional strength. the comparison to the autumnal rain that falls on muddy reservoirs of water is very appropriate. During the rainy season, all the waters of the rivers become muddy. But in the month of July, August, the autumnal season, when there is a slight rainfall, the muddy waters of the rivers all over the world become at once clear. By addition of some chemical, a small reservoir of water like that of a metropolitan waterworks tank can be cleared. But by such a tiny effort, it is not possible to clear up all the reservoirs of water like rivers. A powerful, pure devotee of the Lord, however, can deliver not only his personal self, but also many others in his association. In other words, the cleansing of the polluted heart by other methods, like the culture of empiric knowledge or mystic gymnastics, can simply cleanse one's own heart. But devotional service to the Lord is so powerful that it can cleanse the hearts of the people in general by the devotional service of the pure, empowered devotee. A true representative of the Lord, like Narada, Shukadeva Goswami, Lord Chaitanya, the six Goswamis, and later Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, etc., can deliver all people by their empowered devotional service. By sincere efforts to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, one realizes his constitutional relationship with the Lord in the transcendental humor of servitude, friendship, paternal affection or conjugal love, and by such self-realization, one becomes situated at once in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Not only were all the pure devotees like Narada self-realized souls, but they engaged in preaching work automatically by spiritual impetus, and thus they delivered many pure souls entangled in the material modes. They became so powerful because they sincerely followed the Bhagavatam principles by regular hearing and worshipping. By such actions, the accumulated material loss, etc., become cleansed by the personal endeavor of the Lord within the heart. The Lord is always within the heart of the living being, but He becomes manifested by one's devotional service. Purification of the heart by culture of knowledge or mystic yoga may be all right for the time being for an individual person, but it is like the cleansing of a small quantity of stagnant water by chemical processes. Such clarification of water may stand for the time being and the sediment settle down, but by a slight agitation everything becomes muddy. The idea is that devotional service to the Lord is the only method of cleansing the heart for good, whereas other methods may be superficially good for the time being. There is a risk of becoming muddy again due to agitation of the mind. Devotional service to the Lord with specific attention for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and always is the best recommended method for liberation from the clutches of illusion. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Tadati Sva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jutapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhambitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Such a beautiful verse, filled with power-packed instructions for all of us engaged in activities throughout the day. The activities throughout the day could be understood to be in some sense like the pollution of the mud in the water. However, pravishta karna randrena, when the instructions of Srimad Bhagavatam, when the message of the Supreme Lord, and so beautifully explained in the purport, actually the Lord is so keen. The Lord is more keen than anyone to reside in our heart. As Prabhupada would often say, if you take one step towards Krishna, Krishna takes 10 steps towards you. Now in this beautiful purport, Prabhupada made reference to the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So we will try and anchor the meditation on the Shikshashtakam verses, so beautifully presented by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, something we chant every day, and ways in which we can internalize the teachings of the Shikshashtakam, even when mud gets permeated in the waters of our heart. Now, Shikshashtakam begins with this beautiful verse, Cheto Darpanam Archanam, Bhava Maha Davagni Nirvapanam. The mirror of our heart, right? Darpana. Now the mind is like a window. Cheto Darpanam. And when clean, can actually reflect the Supreme Lord and His message. Therefore, the process of cleansing the mind is very important. Holy name, the Supreme Lord's holy, transcendental holy name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam emanating from the lips of devotees who actually are well-wishers has the potency to cleanse. Now, the mind by design is always absorbed. It is nature of the mind, right? But what is its predominant occupation in a conditioned state? It is self-absorption. All of us here, we can reflect through the day, yesterday, day before, the last 1 year. How much time we spent in self-absorption? Thinking about me, mine, things associated with me. Self-absorption is, as I say, ubiquitous. It's everywhere. Not just at the level of an entity, but the level of family. How can one transcend that self-absorption? One doesn't have to run away from absorption, but transcend that self-absorption to Krishna. As Prabhupada would often say, if the living entity is a small part and parcel of Krishna, and if the living entity can create so much scope for absorption, imagine how much scope for absorption is there in Krishna. Because He is Rasaraj, He is a source of not only all beauty, but even the potency to be absorbed is coming from Krishna. So, pravishta karna randrena, all we have to do is oral reception. It is very interesting that even the Panini Shiksha, right, which tells a lot about how one pronounces, the propagation of sound is supposed to first emanate from the Atma, from the living entity. Right? It is said, Atma buddhya sametyarthan mano yunte vivakshaya. Now, vivakshya is considered extremely important in Sanskrit Vyakarana. Vivakshya means intent, purpose. So, sound is not just attributed to, as they say, the labial, the nasal, and that kind of activities. Akuhavye visarjaniyanam kantaha ichuyashanam talu upapadniyanam oshtau. So, in this way, in the Ashtadhyayi, the ways by which pronunciation happen, what emanates from where, is so scientifically explained. The root, however, is vivaksha, is intent. What is the purpose of your utterance? Is it just to have nice pronunciation, or is it to actually attract the Supreme Lord? Therefore, Srila Prabhupada would often say that chanting of the holy name should be like that of a helpless cry of a child for the mother. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The intent is so important. So it's explained. Yungte vivakshaya, combined with the man, with the intent put forth, vivaksha, then it pushes the kayagni, the fire in the body, that's also called the jataragni, then the jataragni moves the air in the chest region, the thoracic region, and so on. This is how in the Shiksha Shastra, the emanation of sound is described. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he says, Cheto Dharpanam Arjanam, Bhava Mahadavagne Nirvapanam. Yes, the Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam Vidyavadu Jivanam. Krishna's name. But Krishna's name has two aspects. There's Varnavada. Right? The entire Shiksha Shastra, it concludes, this entire series of verses explains how it culminates in Varna. This modified air finally going through, you know, the, all these chambers, the Jataragni and the palate and so on, emanates as Varna. Right? That is the first part. So dirno murdehan bihito vaktra mapadya marutaha varnon. So then varnon jayate resham. Then varna comes. So there is a varnavad. Power is in letters. Yes. It is important to chant and pronounce clearly. Prabhupada would often even, you know, inspire devotees by saying, you know, please chant properly. Yes, that is very important. Varnavada. But there is also spotavada. There is a meaning associated with the words. When we are chanting the holy name, in the holy names of the Lord, there is this nama, rupa, guna, leela. The desire to serve, as Prabhupada would emphasize, is also embedded in the utterance of a holy name, the vivaksha, from the lips of the practitioners. Now, yes, Shashtakam Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so beautifully describes that Namnamakari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shakti. Tattarpita Niyamita Smaranena Kala. And then he says, Durdaiva Midrisha Ajani. Ajani means to not be born. He says, I'm so unfortunate that the potency, Akari. Akari means to come in, Kridhatu, to come into being. So, in the holy name, all the potencies of the Lord are there. All good fortune. And therefore, Prabhupada, the translation says, Krishna, Govinda, by which you expand yourself. All are there. Yes, yet I am so unfortunate. Durdavi, that ajani, anuraga, the attraction towards you is not being born because I am committing offenses. I am not listening or not hearing each and every syllable very attentively. In fact, my mind is wandering here and there. Am I counting the chants or chanting the counts? Is every syllable, is every utterance, is every mala a celebration? Or is it a hurdle towards a celebration? So it's very important. Actually, every bead, every syllable is an occasion for celebration. And sometimes he's very, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so generously offered in this verse, right? Extraordinary demonstration of mercy in this verse, but actually to inspire us so that we follow the process of chanting very attentively and not to help create excuses for avoiding the standard process. That's what extraordinary demonstration of mercy is for. So that we hear attentively, we understand the potency and relish in gratitude each and every syllable of the holy name. And after setting this platform, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Trinadapi Sunichena Taroriva Sahishnuna Amani Namanatena Kirtaniya Sadahari. The mood in which such chanting can go on and on and on. Now, we talked about transcending self-absorption by absorption in Krishna. And this verse, Krishna says, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Kirtaniya Sadahari, this can actually go on perennially if we do not let our ego interfere with the purpose. What is the purpose? The vivaksha of chanting is, Krishna, I am your eternal servant. You care so much for me, as Prabhupada writes in this purport. Krishna actually, he said, Chetodharpanamarjanam, Krishna is actually cleansing the mirror of our heart. I remember Dwarkadish Prabhu asking Radhanath Swami Maharaj, how can we control our senses? And Maharaj, I was quite surprised. Everyone was surprised. He said, you can't control your senses. He repeated this question. Maharaj said, you can't control your senses. And then he said, actually, when we give Krishna the ownership of our senses, he can control. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. So, Krishna is so keen to clear the mirror of our heart, to actually engage our senses in the most satisfying manner. It is all about letting not our ego interfere with the purpose. So yes, self-pity. So this is not about self-pity. Because self-pity is not humility. Because self-pity is only negative self-absorption. To kind of do abnegation is negative self-absorption. Whereas this humility, amanina manadena, not expecting any honor. Yes, there may be honor that others give out of their grace. You may accept it gracefully as prasad of Krishna, but not expecting any honor. Not expecting any honor and giving honors to other. Liberally giving honors to other. And trinadapi sunichena. As we saw, there was such a, unfortunate, right? We talked about rainfall, but it causes great pain. The way there was unseasonal rainfall 2 days back, many people in Mumbai lost their lives. Now, even when such storms are there, we still find the grass doesn't get blown out. The grass actually can bend and protect itself. So, that humility by which the grass, Trinadapi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, even more humble than a blade of grass, this is a launching pad for freedom. Self-pity is not a launching pad for freedom. It only creates more and more victim mentality. Whereas, the humility is a launching pad for freedom from the self-absorption and absorption in Krishna. Now, therefore, again we go back. We'll take some 2 beautiful examples from the Srimad Bhagavatam. I find them very interesting to highlight the point here. That it is not about suppression of talent, but it's purification of intent. Vivaksha is intent. Purification of the intent. We find that that Dhruva Maharaj, after having been denied the lap of his father, after having felt insulted, guided by mother Suniti, and then further tested and guided by Narad Muni, who is also mentioned in the beautiful purport today, he performs such unimaginable austerities. When the Supreme Lord descended and offered him, what do you want? The constant chanting and hearing attentive oral reception of Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya created such a transformation in the heart of Dhruva Maharaj that when Lord Vishnu came, what do you want? And what was Dhruva Maharaj? He said, Kachan Vichitman Apidivya Ratnam Swamin Kritarthosmi Varam Nayache. I don't desire anything. I had set out with a mission, but I was only seeking broken pieces of glass. And here I have got Divya Ratna. Kachan, that is, I was only looking at glass, but actually the glass can prick one's hands. They don't carry much value. But I have got Ratna in the form of you. I don't desire that vara. However, by the grace of the Lord, by the desire of the Lord, Dhruva Maharaj engaged in the service, he became a king. We see how, yes, Dhruva Maharaj, he didn't have to give up his talent. His intent was to be purified. Yet, as we saw in this beautiful verse today, mud can actually appear. Especially the Supreme Lord demonstrates to the lives of his devotees how, even when the muddy waters seem to appear, the process of hearing and being open to hear, being open to connect to Krishna through oral reception can salvage us even in the most difficult situation. What was the difficult situation? It's explained that Dhruva Maharaj got married, he had two wives, he had children, but his younger son, younger brother, Uttama, even before he was married, unfortunately, he was killed by a yaksha from Alkapuri. And now Dhruva Maharaj, as a king, had to mete out justice. But how does he mete out justice? It's explained that Dhruva Maharaj, he went to Alkapuri and he began his attack on Alkapuri. Tato nishkramya balina upadeva mahamataha asahantastinad. So there is asahantastan ninadam. Ninadam is basically sound. He blew the conch shell so powerfully that it was intolerable, and the yakshas came out of the city with weapons and attacked Dhruva. So yes, he had gone there to challenge and met out justice, but this challenging actually attracted their fury. And then the heroes of the yakshas, they saw their, they started fighting, but their heads were being chopped up by Dhruva Maharaj, who was also very angry. And it's explained beautifully in the Srimad Bhagavatam with beautiful analogies. Just like if a serpent, if you try to trample a serpent behind someone's feet, the serpent becomes even more angry. So the yakshas were intolerant of Dhruva Maharaj's power. They became more power. They tried to exhibit more power. So action, reaction, retaliation. And then the siddhas were all observing all this from the higher planets. And they were actually concerned. They in fact requested Dhruva Maharaj. He said, they were actually worried that Dhruva Maharaj could be at loss by seeing the with the fury of the yakshas. And it appeared like the son of Dhruva was being completely covered by or set in the ocean of the yakshas, or covered by the cloud of the yakshas. So the yakshas appeared victory. However, Dhruva Maharaj suddenly appeared from behind, just like the sun again appears from behind the ocean or from behind the clouds. He shot incessant arrows. And the heads, there was a big ocean of heads, like very much similar to how Krishna, when he was vanquishing the army of Jarasandha, there was an ocean of heads, chariots, and it's explained that there were jewelry strewn all over, and they were glittering. So then he went further into Alkapuri, but then he thought these yakshas cannot be predicted. They may have their own yuktis. Right? So what did he do? Dhruva Maharaj, doubtful of his mystic enemies, he actually saw a big tumultuous sound, and from a sky a great dust storm appeared. Right? Very, very similar to what we saw day before yesterday, or a glimpse of what we saw day before yesterday. And in that there was blood, mucus, stool, urine. And then a great mountain was visible from the sky. Big serpents attacking. It was appearing as if it's a dissolution. So, you can see there was so much aggrandizement with the anger that was being exhibited. Beginning with the blowing of the conch shell. So, the great sages, they heard about Dhruva Maharaj again. You see, time and again, the intent and the concern of Dhruva Maharaj's well-wishers is being brought out in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? So, when we actually have pure intent, even when there seems to be an anger eclipsing us, we will have our well-wishers who will think about us. I was really touched by seeing this. Periodically you find that the siddhas are thinking about Dhruva Maharaj, the sages are thinking about Dhruva Maharaj, and the sages, what did they say? They assembled and offered him auspicious encouragement. All the sages, they said, may the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Shanga Dharma, who relieves the distress of his devotees, kill all your threatening enemies. And then they mention, Yanna Madheya Madhidhaya Nishamya Chadha Lokonja Satarati Dus.
Uttaramanga Mrityum. The holy name, Yannamadheya, the holy name of the Lord is as powerful as the Lord himself. Therefore, simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, many men can fully protect themselves from the fierce death without difficulty. Thus a devotee is saved. Now, immediately in reciprocation to this advice from the sages, Dhruva Maharaj was encouraged and he joined the Narayanastra arrow. So the fight continued even with this advice. And it's explained that just like material pains are vanquished by cognizance of the self, similarly with the Narayanastra, he was able to vanquish the Yakshas yet again. And it was, the army was again completely decimated. Now, the Yakshas again got infuriated. Now, look at all this. All this is happening after Dhruva Maharaj had darshan of Lord Vishnu. We can have ups and downs in life. Yes, there could be darshan of Lord Vishnu, and then by the divine orchestration of the Lord, or sometimes by our own karma, by the seeds of desire that we have sown, yes, there will be these ups and downs. But what stayed through with Dhruva Maharaj was Sadhu Sangha, was association, periodically trickling in to protect him, not only from the Yakshas, but actually to also protect the consciousness, as you will see. So, then it's explained, when Swayambhu Manu, when he saw his grandson Dhruva Maharaj was killing so many of the Yakshas, he was at a rampage. And the word used here is Ati. It's a very interesting word. He approached Dhruva Maharaj along with the sages and offered good instruction. Alam! Alam vatsati roshena tamodvarena papmana yena punya jananetan avadhistvam managasaha. Alam means stop, stop. Vatsati roshena. Ati roshena, right? A mosquito bites you, and then you are angry with the entire mosquito cooler. You want to wipe out all the other mosquitoes. Why? Because one mosquito bit you. This is true in this world. You go on a rampage. One word from someone hurts you, and then you go on a rampage blurting out as if that is the only word spoken to you until then. I remember when, after getting married, my wife and I, when we approached Radhanath Swami Maharaj, the first instruction he gave us was, sometimes there may be misunderstanding, but don't take them seriously. But that's exactly the reverse of what happens. We take that one akshara, one varana very seriously, without even looking at the intent or the context. So, here Dhruva Maharaj is being told, Ati Roshena Alam, Atyahara, Rupa Goswami talks about Atyahara Prayasascha. Ati, in every aspect, can be dangerous. How can one protect oneself from that Ati? Here is the recipe. He's saying, Swayambhu Manu is saying, my dear son, the killing of the sinless Yakshas which you have undertaken is not at all approved by authorities. It does not befit a family. He is also giving the other paksha, laukika paksha. Does it behoove our family, you killing like this? Because what is good for our relationship with Krishna actually is good for everything in our life. And then he goes on explaining as Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, that we are different from this body. We are not, we are the eternal Atman. And he says, this activity of yours is coming as an obstacle between your relationship and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he reminds, Dhruva, it is very difficult to attain the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You have been assured that. Such beautiful word. So, even for someone like Dhruva Maharaj, who had been blessed by Lord Vishnu, Swayambhu Manu is coming and reminding him. Sarva bhutatma bhavena bhutavasam harim bhavan aradhyapa duradhyayam Vishnos tat paramam padam. Vishnos tat paramam padam. That paramam padam has been assured to you. Because you are a pure devotee of the Lord. And the Lord is actually very satisfied with this devotee when he greets, that the devotee greets others with tolerance, mercy. Actually, the verses are very similar to what Narad Muni spoke to Dhruva Maharaj when he was on his way to the forest, on his way to meditate on Lord Vishnu. What does he say? Titikshaya karunaya maitriya chakila jantushu samatvena sarvatma bhagavan samprasidati.
The Lord is very satisfied with his devotee when the devotee greets others. Now again you see the intent is being emphasized.
Yes, we'll see very soon how Kuvera, who actually could have got offended by the killing of the Yakshas, he tells Dhruva Maharaj, I understand your intent was not to go on a rampage. You as a Kshatriya wanted to mete out justice.
So it's very interesting. Swayambhu Manu is helping Dhruva Maharaj refine the intent.
Kuvera later on certifies that Dhruva Maharaj, you had the right intent. Don't have to feel guilty.
Now, is there a contradiction between what Swayambhu Manu is telling and Kuvera tells Dhruva Maharaj?
No, each of them is having a different role.
Just like, when Grihastha was telling, everyone can clap for a Srimad Bhagavatam class, but if the wife comes and says the class was good, it means something really profound, right? So, different people have different relationships. When Swayambhu Manu is performing his duty of correcting, whereas Kuvera, I'll just go to the beautiful next chapter, after Swayambhu Manu advises Dhruva Maharaj such powerful verses, he says, Sapanchavarsho Jananim Tomihaya Matus Sapatnya Vachasa Bhinna Marma.
My dear Dhruva, Panchavarsho, when you are 5 years old, you are very grievously afflicted by the words of your mother's stepmothers or mother's co-wife. And you were so bold, what did you do? Vanam Gadas Tapasa Pratyagacha.
You are so bold. He's reminding Dhruva Maharaj. What about that boldness?
And in fact, you went exclusively to meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Fully focus on Him. Very attentively you heard the mantra given by Narada Muni. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
You focused your attention on the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
And then, my dear King, please consider all that I have said.
Sanyaccha Rosham Bhadram Te Pratipam Shreyasam Param.
Control your anger. Ati roshena. Control your anger. Again, coming back to what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has instructed us, right? When we start meditating on Krishna's greatness, not necessarily our smallness, Krishna's greatness, we will appear small. When that intent is purified, then the anger which appeared to be so big, so all-devouring, actually becomes very small.
Size of a hookprint of a calf.
In that mood, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also says, Dhadanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye.
As was pointed out in the purport today, if you have only karma in isolation, you may romanticize the world. The world may appear dunya mutti mein. That's the romanticization of the world, right? And to some extent, we find that, in Dhruva Maharaj's behavior, went on a rampage. And the assumption seems to be that everyone can be conquered. At least that's what Swayambhu Manu is imploring Dhruva Maharaj to reflect upon.
On the other hand, you can have only jnana. But jnana in isolation can demonize the world.
Whereas here, where there is bhakti, the purpose, the intent is to please the Supreme Lord, as is being beautifully spoken by Swayambhu Manu. At least 2-3 verses he's talking about satisfying the Supreme Lord.
He says, if you satisfy the Supreme Lord, you will be able to achieve the purpose of all your intents, all your talents. And he in fact says, please go and beg forgiveness from Kuvera. That is Vaishnava etiquette. Beg forgiveness from him, because I can only advise you. But ultimately, it's Kuvera, they have been affected.
So what did Kuvera say?
Dhruva Maharaj, he goes humbly. Pranadapi sunichena taroriva sahishtuna.
And he dhanadha vacha bhobho kshatriya dayada paritushtosmi tenagha.
Just the intent of Dhruva Maharaj to go and beg forgiveness was so pleasing to Kuvera.
Yastvam pita mahadeshad Dvairam dustyajam atyajah.
You have given up your enmity because of being advised by your Pitamaha Adeshat. I am very pleased with you.
That process.
So it is again a very important point being made here. Sometimes we, sadhana bhakti, we think that, determination is an expression of willpower. Actually, even the determination has to be an expression of devotion. Because if that willpower is expressed in a challenging mood as against a mood of devotion, that determination can also go for a toss. The glaring example of this was Hanumanji. Hanumanji, how he flew, right? He was determined. But at the same time, that determination was completely based on devotion to Lord Ram, on the purpose. He was able to shrink, expand twice. Once with the demon Asurasa, and again in front of Mother Sita, because Mother Sita was convinced that this is a Rakshasa. Can you imagine? So this was Hanumanji's humility. And that humility is because of the determination which is based on devotion and not just a display of willpower. Because sometimes our strengths in bhakti, when we are too proud about what we have, the strength can actually become a weakness. And here in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, when he goes and humbly begs forgiveness, Hanumanji, when he is able to, on one hand, encourage the Vanara Sena by saying, by display of his power, on the other hand, assure Sita Maya, that actually I am the most insignificant of all the Vanaras. Right? This flexibility that Hanuman has, that is based on devotion. So, coming back, when Kuvera, he said, I am very pleased with you. Actually, you have not killed the Yakshas, nor have they killed your brother. For the ultimate cause of generation and annihilation is the eternal time feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, he is attributing this to time. Now, is it that Dhruva Maharaj was relieved? Ha! Huh. Someone else is being attributed. No. The mood of Dhruva Maharaj, in fact, is that he continues hearing. And Guvera says, my dear Dhruva, please come forward. May the Lord always grace you with good fortune. And then we see how Dhruva Maharaj actually went back to Godhead. The mood of Dhruva Maharaj was that I was offered this Pushpak Viman. I am being offered a path to Godhead because of my mother Suniti. How can I go there without her? So you see this grace, humility imbued in every step of Dhruva Maharaj's interaction. Now, just to kind of also bring up another very interesting pastime as we conclude. Maharaj Chitraketu. We see Maharaj Chitraketu again, a king. One of the reasons so many kings are being talked about in the Srimad Bhagavatam is king's job is very challenging. Right? To, while we were coming here, one person was telling us that, the people look up to the king. They see the king setting a narrative for the entire Rajya or a country. The standards that the person upholds become the standards that people start upholding. So, Maharaj Chitraketu was so, he had everything, every opulence. And as is being beautifully summarized by Angira Muni tells Maharaj Chitraketu that Maharaj, aham te putra kamasya putra dos mangira nrpa esha brahma sutah sakshad narado bhagavan rishihi. He says, my dear king, Angira Muni is there with Narad Muni and he is reminding, just like Swayambhu Manu was reminding Dhruva Maharaj, right? Very interesting. And he is reminding that I am the same Angira Rishi whom you had approached asking for a son, because you had everything except for a son. It's like saying, I have all garlands, all decorations, but I am hungry. In that hunger you had asked me for a son. And he says, Tadaiva te param jnanam dadami graham agata. Now what is the situation? You have lost that son. That son whom you named Harshashoka is lost. What I am going to speak now, I could have spoken then. I could have given you the same supreme transcendental instruction. Yatvanya bhinivesham taye putrameva dadamyaham. However, the only thing you are seeking, again vivaksha, intent, the same personality is being approached again. Right? But this time your intent is different. You had a different intent. How could I could only give you a son because that is the only cause you are attributing your jubilation and lamentation to. And then he explains, actually the lamentation you are experiencing now
is because of the loss of the same son. And beautiful instructions follow. It's explained that Narad Muni was then, Narad Muni then started advising Maharaj Chitraketu after Angira Muni advised and introduced Narad Muni. Now there's a beautiful verse again, which reminds us of the instruction in this Srimad Bhagavatam verse, Pravishta Karna Randrena. So, Narad Muni is advising, is in fact telling Maharaj Chitraketu, I'm going to give you a mantra. Dehendriya prana mano dhyomi yadvamsha vidha pacharanti karmasu. He's saying, and the iron has power to burn when made red hot, when you put that iron in fire. Similarly, the body, all the limbs of the body can function in their activities only when there is consciousness. And actual functioning of the body for its purpose then is that consciousness is imbued with Krishna consciousness, with remembrance of Krishna. The Atma, when it's connected with Krishna in deep remembrance, that is when this body is infused with the potency to act for its purpose. And then he goes on, beautifully inspiring Maharaj Chitraketu with mantra, imploring him to hear very attentively, and then he says, and then it's explained how Maharaj Chitraketu meets the Lord. In fact, the entire chapter is titled Chitraketu Maharaj Meets the Lord. In the Chaitanya Shishashtakam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains how the sentiments that we, you know, many of these beautiful sentiments that we see in Maharaj Chitraketu, how those sentiments reflect what we miss, right? What we miss reflects what we value. So even when Maharaj Chitraketu, in fact, there's a beautiful verse which I didn't read. He says, actually, we are like pigs and dogs. That's the consciousness with which he approached Angira Muni. It reflects what he missed. Remembrance of the Supreme Lord. Yugaitam nimeshena chakshusha pravrishayitam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, is his transcendental ecstasy. He's saying that a moment becomes like yuga in separation with the Supreme Lord. However, it's important that this emotion of that is being talked about should be directed by reason at the level of sadhana bhakti. Let reason direct emotion, and that reason, that emotion can animate the reason. This is very important. Sentiments versus sentimentality, right? The one is a sentiment of humility, but the other is to be sentimental as a humble servant. The sentiment of humility is based on understanding of ourselves being insignificant, as actually being a part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, and our constitutional position being at the lotus feet of the Lord. On the other hand, sentimentality is where emotion starts directing reasons. So reason has to direct emotion. That's when it can remain stable. Otherwise, as they say, you know, we start by offering obeisances, and while getting up, we uproot everything that existed. That is very dangerous. So in the case of Maharaj Chitraketu and Dhruva Maharaj, you don't find them retaliating to the advice they get, because they had that mood. Even in the ups and downs, Chitraketu Maharaj getting a son and then losing the son, being able to absorb the message that this was to happen. And here's a higher purpose. In fact, the son who had left Dhruva Maharaj Chitraketu comes and advises Chitraketu Maharaj. That is the oral reception, the openness to oral reception displayed by these great devotees. So, I'll again read this verse in conclusion.
Pravishtha karna randrena swanam bhavasaroruham dhunoti shabalam krishna salilasya yathasharat.
The sound incarnation of Krishna, the Supreme Soul, enters into the heart of a self-realized devotee, sits on the lotus flower of his loving relationship, and thus cleanses the dust of material associations such as lust, anger and hankering. Thus it acts like autumnal rains upon pools of muddy water. And we saw through examples, through the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that yes, the ups and downs, the pools of muddy water might come up again and again, but the choice is completely ours. We can accept this beautiful opportunity given by Srimad Bhagavatam
to hear each and every syllable every day. Every day when we sit down to chant, we have that opportunity and occasion to celebrate. Let's celebrate the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra by pronouncing every syllable very clearly, listening to every syllable attentively, and in that process the mind can be focused in gratitude. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Thank you.